maybe to look back on. Isaiah chapter 40. There's one verse I really like to center on, but then we'll build from that one. But Isaiah chapter 40, many of you would be familiar with this scripture as you see it. Isaiah chapter number 40 and the last verse of that chapter, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I give you the title of the message in just a moment. We'll go ahead and make our confession. But I want to ask you if you would join me this week, every day, focusing on this scripture. Let this truth get in our hearts and minds, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Ultimately, not just that we learn it, but so that we live it. So, Lord, I pray that you would just again draw our focus and our attention to you right now. Help us to lay aside every hindrance so that we can humbly receive the word of God, which is able to save, rescue, heal, deliver our lives, our minds, and our hearts and emotions. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me as we make this confession together? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. October 31st of 2019, I had to send Brittany a text to remind me of this on the exact date. We were at the UVA hospital very early in the morning for Brittany to have surgery to, Brittany is our daughter, for Brittany to have a pituitary tumor removed. So we go in, we're in there early, and someone came in, this hall's dark and nothing is open, no one is around, but someone came right out to take Brittany on back, and only one of us could go, so Kim went. And that just disrupted my plans because I was planning, not that I haven't been praying, certainly I had been, but I wanted to pray with her again before they took her back. And I didn't get to do that. So I'm gonna be honest, I was like in a place of unrest on the inside. And again, no one around, the halls were dark, and I was in a waiting time that I didn't want to be in. I don't know this morning if anyone else can relate, but have you ever felt like you were in what I would call a waiting room of life that you didn't want to be in, that you didn't choose? Someone said, good things come to those who wait. I got a Tom Petty song in my mind sometimes that says a little different, but I don't want you thinking so much about him right now. But we don't always associate waiting with something good. But this scripture says, but those who wait on the Lord. So what does it mean to wait on the Lord, and how do we wait on the Lord in a way that brings blessing? So here is just the title of the message this morning, if you want to write it down. I want to center on this. I'm waiting to be blessed. I'm waiting to be blessed. Now, I get to qualify that again because this is different than how we might typically think of waiting. Waiting on the Lord. I'll give you a definition of that word wait here in just a moment. But I'm going to be honest. Waiting can seem like just a waste of time, and all it does is produce needless frustration, not something good. So maybe you can relate, but this is a wait that brings blessing. So let me just give you a real simple definition of this Hebrew word. The word wait here, and there are different Hebrew words used throughout Scripture. This one particularly means to expect, to look for, and to hope in. To expect, to look for, and to hope in. So to wait on the Lord then is to expect him to do what he said, or to look for him to do what he said. It's to just to put your hope in him. In fact, some of your translations may say that. They may say, but those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. Now I want to give you just, if we can put, we'll keep that up if you want to, on that definition. But the Hebrew word, if I pronounce it correctly, is like Q-A-V-A-H, kava. Kava. Would you say that with me? Kava. There's a reason, just if you trust me, stay in here with me, I'll tell you why I'm going to give you that. Now, let me give you a scripture if you want to write it down. It's found in the first book of the Bible in the account of creation. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, we read these words. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be kava. Same word that's translated wait in Isaiah. Here, that same word is translated gathered together. So to wait on the Lord then means that we are gathered close to him, that we are looking to him, that we're putting our hope in him, that we're expecting him to be who he is and to do what he says in his word. So that's, again, to wait then is to draw close to the Lord. That's how we wait to be blessed. I'm waiting to be blessed. Would you say that with me? I'm waiting to be blessed. So I'm drawing closer to him. I'm looking to him in faith and I'm putting my hope in him. Now, let me ask you to go back to verse 1 of this same chapter. Just touch a few verses here because they're relevant. Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 39 have a lot to do with judgment on the surrounding nations of Israel, including Israel and Judah, because they had rejected the Lord, had forsaken him. And God even prophesied, because of your rejection of me, you're going to go into exile for about 70 years. He says that in Isaiah before it ever happens. But then in chapter 40, it's like a little transition. And he begins to say, you're going into exile, but because I love you, I've given you a covenant. It's just going to be corrective. It's not destroying. And I'm going to bring you back. And so now I'm going to speak comfort to you and speak life and hope. And the rest of the book also prophesies the Messiah's coming and a new heaven and new earth and a kingdom that is God's that will reign on earth. So if you look at verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 40, we read these words, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Then verse 2, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Do those words sound familiar to any of you? John the Baptist spoke those about Jesus coming in because he is the one who does comfort us by putting away our sins. Forgiveness is a comfort. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins. So he says, I'm going to comfort you because this battle is over and I'm going to reward you. I'm going to put away your sin and your iniquity. If you drop down to verse 10, we read these words. He says that, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand and his arm shall rule for him. That speaks of a king. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. So this awesome God, this one who would come, this Messiah, is also a powerful king. Then verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. Some translations say close to his heart. And gently lead those who are with young. What did Jesus say about the shepherd? He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So he's not only a powerful king, he's a loving shepherd. And then if you drop down toward the end of verse 25, he asked this question, to whom then will you liken me? Isaiah 40, 25, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. That's probably speaking of the stars. And it says, he calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Hold on just a minute. In Genesis, it just says, when he created, it says, he created the stars too. Like, he just blew that off. A few years ago, I guess, is when this was written, I read that astronomers guessed that there are about 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy, one galaxy. 400 billion, and they estimate that there are 125 billion galaxies. And he says, I got a name for all of them. I wanted you to hear that because of what he gets ready to say after that, verse 27. So why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? God just doesn't know what I'm going through. He just doesn't see. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. No, brothers and sisters, God sees, he cares, and justice delayed does not mean justice denied. He's going to right every wrong, but it'll be in his timing. But he sees and he cares. So I want you to see, he's this all-powerful God. And if we know him as our Lord, as our shepherd, he holds us close to his heart. He gently leads us, but he's also all-powerful and he can do what he says he'll do. So I'm waiting to be blessed. Then he says this, verse 28, and this is kind of going toward our theme verse here. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And here's what he does, verse 29. He gives power to those who are weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. See, we will experience times in life when youth and physical strength are not enough to sustain us. So he's not speaking of just physical strength, or we would have it. But he says when we go through those seasons, that if we will wait on the Lord, if we will get close to him, if we will put our hope in him, if we will look to him and expect him to move, and if we stay close to him, he says, he gives power to the weak. To those who have no strength, he increases strength. To those who wait on him, he renews our youth. He renews our strength. And it says, they shall mount up. I'm glad he didn't say it should be like little hummingbirds. But don't you feel like it sometimes? Mount up. He will do it when we wait. That's why I'm waiting to be blessed. He shall, we shall mount up. We shall run and not be weary. We shall, that speaks of a way of life. See, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I learned something. I believe I learned something going through it again this time, however many times I've heard and even shared this scripture. So often I thought of waiting on the Lord as just this limited duration event. But I believe the scripture teaches different. It's not a little short time. It's a lifestyle, waiting on the Lord. Staying close to him, hoping in him, trusting in him. Then I can walk, I can run, then I can mount up by his grace, by his spirit and strength, because it's not mine, it's his. But if I'm close enough to him, I just thought about this. A mother eagle will push a little eaglet out of the nest because they like staying in that comfort zone. Sometimes God will get us out of our comfort zone. But it's not to kill us, it's to help us. Because as the little birds fall and flapping down, mother eagle will go down and soar and pick that eaglet up on the wings and take him up until he or she learns to mount up for themselves. Thank God. Thank God. I'm waiting to be blessed. One translation says, those who keep waiting on the Lord shall renew their strength. Let me give you a scripture real quick if you want to write it down. Psalms 27. Psalms 27, two verses, 13 and 14. The Bible says this, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Thank God we can see some goodness here. Verse 14 then says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he'll do what? He shall strengthen your heart, so wait, I say, on the Lord. So again, waiting on the Lord is living in close fellowship with him. And if I stay in close fellowship with him, then he will help me through the waiting rooms of life. Let me give you the scripture again, just for time's sake, if you want to write it down. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Let me read a few verses to you. This is how not to wait. 1 Samuel chapter 10, beginning in verse 5. The Bible says this, 1 Samuel, this is King Saul. He was the first king of the nation of Israel. And the Bible says, after that, the prophet is speaking to him. He says, after that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instrument, tambourine, flute, and harp before them, and they will be prophesying. So that's what instruments were really designed for, to give praise and worship to the Lord. And then it says in verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you'll prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Thank God for his Holy Spirit, because he can help us wait when we want to jump the gun. Don't we need that? We need his help. And verse 8 says, you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt sacrifices and make sacrifices of peace offerings. Notice the time frame. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. And then over in chapter 13, again, if you want to just write it down, chapter 13, verse 8, that Saul waited 7 days. And because the people started getting scared because the enemy was approaching. He says he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But because Samuel didn't come, the people started leaving him. Verse 9, so Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. And it happened as soon as he finished presenting the burnt offering, guess who showed up? Samuel came, and Saul went up to meet him and went out to greet him, and Samuel said, what have you done? Now here is where we can mess up when we're in the waiting rooms. It says, when I saw, would you say saw? That the people were scattered from me, and you didn't come within the days appointed, and the Philistines had gathered together, verse 12, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord, therefore I felt compelled. Would you say felt? So we saw and we felt, and he offered a burnt offering, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But you see how when he was in that waiting period, he either wanted to help God out a little bit or he wanted to take matters in his own hands and not trust the word of God to say, I feel this and I see this, but I'm not living by what I see or what I feel. I'm living by my trust in the Lord. Yes. Would you say, I'm waiting. To be blessed. So let me give you this real quick. I believe there are characteristics of waiting, two benefits, two blessings. Maybe I'll say it that way. Two benefits and blessings of waiting on the Lord, if you want to just write them down. Here they are. Number one, first of all, waiting on the Lord is seeking. So it's not just, you know, like I'm in front of the microwave tapping my foot. Come on, come on. I'm seeking the Lord. That's what it is to wait, is I'm seeking him. It's a lifestyle of seeking the Lord. And let me give you the scripture for that. It's in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations was a funeral song that was written after nationwide defeat, devastation, and death. And right in the middle of this funeral song, we read these words in Lamentations 3:20. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. I'm in depression because I remember the tragedy and all the loss and just what we've gone through. But that wasn't all he remembered. Verse 21 says, this I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Thank God. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Would you say those words with me? Great is your faithfulness. And then he says, the Lord is my portion, says my whole soul. Therefore, I hope in him. And then verse 25, the Lord is good to those who kava, wait for him. And notice, to the soul who seeks him. See how waiting is connected to seeking? And let me ask you to turn, if you would, to Psalms 40 with me. We'll look at that scripture together. Psalms 40. There's a hymn based on this scripture. Let me hear us see. I don't know if we didn't practice this. So this might not be good. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Don't know this chorus? Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. So waiting is seeking. Psalms 40, verse 1. If you found that, let me join you. We read these words, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently. That's a good way to wait. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. Thank you, Lord. That's waiting. That's seeking the Lord in prayer. Verse 2 says, he brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth. That's praise and worship. Seeking the Lord in prayer, seeking him in praise, even praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. That's giving testimony to what God is able to do. Because if we wait on the Lord, we shall mount up. I'm waiting to be blessed. That's right, Kim. Praise God. I love it. Psalms 130 and verse 5 says this. Psalms 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. So I'm waiting not just in prayer and worship. I'm waiting because I've got my hope in his word. I believe it's inspired. I believe it's already been proven. It's forever settled in heaven. I'm not waiting to see if God's word is true or not. I know it's true, and I'm building my life on what the rock of Jesus and the rock of obedience to his word. I'm waiting to be blessed. And this is how it's a wait. It's a wait that's inspired by love. It would be like that picture. I was in here yesterday morning, and Clarence was looking at backgrounds to put for the title of the message. And on this, for those who may just be listening right now, this was a picture of someone like a traveler, looked like he was, I think it was a suitcase or something like that, that was on the tracks, and he was waiting for the train to arrive. And of course, there is a wait where you're waiting to go somewhere, but there is also a wait like this. And you see, he's got the bag there for those who can see the screen, and he's waiting. And I love that sign up there with a cross on it. I picture it like he's waiting to be blessed. But maybe could you picture someone waiting for a loved one that you haven't seen in a while, and you just can't even wait to see them again, and you want to put your arm around them, you want to hug them, you want to welcome them? That's what it means to wait on the Lord. It's because I'm waiting because his love has forgiven, he's changed my heart, and by his grace and goodness, I'm not where I once was, I'm not where I should be, but I'm on the way, and so he loved me first, and so I'm gonna love him. It's a wait inspired by love. And then James chapter 5, verse 7, let me just read it to you for sake of time. James chapter 5, so would you say waiting is seeking? And growing. And that's the second word, seeking and growing. And James chapter 5, verse 7, I'll read these words to you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Here we go again, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. See, if we will seek the Lord in worship and prayer and in his word and not half-heartedly, but if we will seek the Lord with all of our hearts, we will grow closer to him and we will grow more like him. And that's the fruit that God is after. The fruit of God's spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and self-control, all of those characteristics of Jesus. As we get closer to him, we grow more like him. And God wants us to live fruitful lives that glorify him and that bless others because his love has changed our heart. I'm waiting to be blessed. I'm going to read this scripture. In fact, would you pull that scripture up one more time, please? Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, but those who wait, I'm trying to get started on it here now, of memorizing it, focusing on it this week. I'm just give you one more scripture if you want to write it down. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait, kava. Let me tell you, that's a verb. Let me show you the noun of that word. It's called tikva. The national anthem of Israel is hatikva. It means the hope. In Joshua chapter 2, is it verse 18? I'm doing this from memory here. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 18, is that right? We read these words. Do you want to write it down? Maybe I ought to look it up. Okay. Yeah. Unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord, tikva. Unless you bind this out where we can see it and you bring your family on the inside, they'll be safe. You get them inside behind the scarlet cord and they'll live. If they choose not to, their blood's on their head. Wait a minute. What does this have to do with waiting on the Lord? Remember, gathered together? It's a picture, a braided cord or rope, and I love that it's had to be scarlet. I think that picture's something about the blood of Jesus. And if we get inside with the blood of Jesus, we're safe. We're good to go. But he says, if you get inside, this braid of cord and rope is a picture of how our lives and our hearts can be entwined with the Lord. Let me read you this, Isaiah 40, 31, now in the Passion Translation. I love how it's worded. It says this, but those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh or the Lord will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their races without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up. Amen. Waiting. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. Let me close with this. That day in the hospital, like I said, no one was around, and I was just uneasy, I didn't know what to do. I walked around and found the chapel. No one was there. I just went inside and sat down, and I noticed they have Quran, the Bible, so forth, different publications. So I went and picked up one off of the rack, like a little rack, and I opened it October 31st and read it, and it seemed like a good word. So I said, well, I'm just going to take this. I'm sure they had them out for people to take. And so I said, I'm going to take this. I'll have it with me. I decided to go ahead and start supporting that ministry. And this one just came in the mail all these years later. What happened was when I went to order the, whatever, look at the information to order it, to buy it for myself, however many days or even weeks that was later, I noticed that it wasn't that day's devotional. It was a year earlier's devotional. It had been sitting up in that rack maybe for a year, but it was a word in season to me. I just said that to say this. We can find God in the waiting rooms of life if we seek him, not just as a quick fix, but as a blessed way of life. So I'm waiting to be blessed. Anyone else willing to wait to be blessed this morning? Amen. Let's stand together as we close in prayer. Lord, thank you that you loved us and came to us. Thank you that you draw us. I'm thankful that you can be our strength. You renew spiritual, not just physical. You renew our strength to do what you've called us to do. Not what everyone else calls us, but to do what you call us to do. And we thank you for it. Can I pray for anyone here today who just said, Brother Rocky, I feel like I'm in a waiting room right now. Would you just lift your hands? Anyone? Oh, well, okay. Hold your hands up just a moment, please. Okay, thank you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. Lord, I pray that you would help us, help me. When we're in the waiting rooms of life, help us to remember to wait as a way of life by getting close to you, seeking you, and trusting you. Lord, thank you. Let your love draw us. Thank you, Lord. I pray for whatever this season is of waiting, that you're going to intervene and that fruit will come. You said, don't grow weary. You're going to reap in due season. Just be encouraged today, my brother or sister. God is moving. Even when we don't see it or feel it, he is moving to accomplish his will. Can we sing this together? You are here.